Okay. Today's daf is daf Chaf Tes in Menachos. Okay. Big dafim coming up. We started Menorah yesterday. We're going to continue with our discussion of Menorah today. Conclude the discussion of Menorah and then move on to Hilchos Tam. Okay. Unbelievable. The Menorah discussion started yesterday with the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about the Kaneha Menorah, the stems of the Menorah. And Shiva Kaneha Menorah Machman says that they are Machman one another. So you need all seven stems, the Mishnah taught us. And then Shiva Nerasem Machman says that. And then on the top of every Menorah, you had a Ner. As I mentioned yesterday, the Ner is the actual cup, the cup that holds the oil. And it's Machman says that. Okay, so that's what we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. We started the Gemara yesterday, and the Gemara talked about two requirements. Number one, the material has to be made out of gold. And the other requirement is that it has to be miksha achas. It has to be made out of one mat. It has to be one piece of gold that's going to be hammered out and made into the menorah. So of these two rules, we learned yesterday, the latter is essential, and the former is not essential. Meaning to say that you can make the menorah out of any material you want, out of any metal you want. Gold is a mitzvah. See, the best way to do it is to make it out of gold. But after that, if you don't have gold or can't afford gold or whatever the case is, so then you can make it out of other metals as well. The miksha achas, that has to be made out of one mass, that's a deal breaker. The Gemara says that's an absolute. That's one of the main definitions of the menorah, has to be miksha achas. And so that's nothing for discussion. So you cannot piece the menorah together based on little bits of gold. By the way, I don't know who said this, but I saw, you know, they made in the Mishkan in the Midbar when they made a collection. So they collected material. They collected raw material, right? Kipshuto, meaning what they did with the raw material is that they made all the kalim with the raw material that were given to them, right? That's not going to work by menorah. In other words, by menorah, no one donated a mass solid piece of gold, right? Everyone donated little bits of whatever gold they had and they fused it together. I mean, that's, right? So if you take the gold and you melt it together, I don't think that's going to be good, meaning that's not, you know, that's not the miksha achas. Miksha achas seems to be that you have to have one natural piece of gold and then bang it out from that. So, okay, so that's an issue, meaning how did exactly in the Midbar did they get that one mass piece of gold? And it doesn't seem like it was from the collection of the people. Okay.
The last piece of gold was one kikar or just the menorah?
No, the kikar, no. By the time it was hammered out, it was reduced to a kikar.
So it was more than
that. Had to have started with more than that. And we'll talk today about putting in the kiln and smelting it and reducing it in order to get to the gold that they had over here. Okay. Anyway, that's... Fine. We also noted yesterday that the chatzotzos that were made by Moshe, also same halacha, has to be silver and has to be made out of one mass. But we learned yesterday that in terms of which one's essential, by the chatzotzos is the exact opposite. Silver is essential, but if you want to piece it together with bits of silver, that you could do. Okay, that's what we saw yesterday. And then we had a discussion yesterday about wood. Can you make a menorah out of wood? So we started yesterday with a braisa. So let's start again with the same braisa. We're on Chav Chesamun Beis, and we're about 10 lines from the top of the page. Tani Rav Papa. So we saw this yesterday. We'll just quickly go through it again. Rav Papa taught the following braisa. Tani Rav Papa Brei Rav Chanin Kamid Rav Yosef Menorah Haitzabah Min Ha'eses Umin HaZahav. So it had to be made up from one mass, and it had to be made up of gold. Asa Shal Kesef Ksherah. If you make it out of silver, that's okay. Kosher, shall bath, shall ever, shall gistaron. If you make it out of tin, or out of lead, or out of some sort of metal alloy, Rebbe poser Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda machsher. So it's a machlokus between Tanayim, whether that's good or not. These are inferior metals, and so therefore machlokus whether they're good or not good. Shall etzva, shall etzim, shall zechuch is devar kol psula. However, if you make it out of wood, out of bone, or out of glass, according to everyone, it's going to be pasul. This is the brisa that was relayed. So Amar Le. So when Rav Yosef hears a brisa, so his response is my daitech. What are you thinking? Like that can't be. Amar Le bein maru bein mar klalu prati darshe miu savar mahaprat mefor shal mateches av kol shal mateches uma savar mahaprat mefor savar chashav av kol davar chashav. So when question, when challenged, Rav Yosef says, "What are you thinking?" Meaning, do you understand what this machlokis is? So the response is, "Yeah, I think I understand." First of all, they're both using the methodology of klal uprat. Klal uprat uklal means generality, specific generality. And when we have the klal uprat uklal, it's ke'en haprat, meaning the prat is there as a model, as an example. So just like the this is like this, so too we're going to include anything that's like this. And what Rav Papa Bered Rav Hanin suggests is, I think the machlokas is the following. Look, the example that's given is zahav, it's gold. So one position is gold is metal, any metal. And the other position is no, gold isn't metal, it's davar chashuv. It's a significant metal, so it has to be something which is davar chashuv, which would include silver, but would not include tin, lead, or an alloy. So Amarle, so when Rav Yosef hears this, so he says, Same ditcha mikami didi. No. No, that just, in other words, I don't agree with your braisa. I don't agree with your explanation of your braisa. I don't agree with your braisa in total. Right? Just, I don't agree. Remove your braisa for my braisa. Detanya, we learned in a braisa, klisharsha, sun shal eitz. If I have a klisharsha that's made out of wood, Rebbe Posa, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Huda Machshir. Here we go. Machlokis in Rav Yosef's braisa, where according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, wood is acceptable. Now, b'maika miflegi, now I will tell you how to understand this machlokas. Rabbi Darish Kalu Prat, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda Darish Yibul Miyut. And then we go back to the classic debate that we've seen time and again throughout Shas, meaning the method. What is the actual methodology? Rabbi Darshi Klalu Prate, and it goes like this. Ve'asisa menoras klal. You're going to make a menorah, that's a generality, followed by zahav tahor, out of pure gold, prat, so that's a specific. Miksha te'aseh ha-menorah, you'll make it out of one mass, right? The word menorah, again, klal. Chazer klal, so we have klal uprat uklal, yata dan alakein ha-prat. So you look at the prat, and you look at the specific, it's ke'en ha-prat, and that now sets up some sort of prototype. Mahapram before shamateches, I've called shamateches. And so therefore, according to Rebbe, it just like the prat is metal, any metal. Good. That is the drasha of Rebbe. Now, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, Darish Ribu Umiyute. He uses a different methodology altogether. Not klalo prat, Ribu Umiyut. It yields a different result. The Asisa Menoras Riba. Zahav Tahor Miyate. Miksha Teaseh HaMenor Chaza Veriba. Riba Umiyate Veriba. Now, how is this methodology different than the previous methodology? For the following reason. Riba Hakol. Because when you operate with Ribu Umiyut, so Ribui means bring it all in. Any material is fine. Ribui is a more expansive way of viewing how to go with the sequence of general, specific, general. General, specific, general is first there's a generality, followed by specific, klal, prat. Prat is your definition. It's just this. Then when you're chazer or klal, then when you give another generality afterwards, you could look at the one specific example and say anything similar to that. That's klal prat or klal. Ribu yomiyut operates with a totally different perspective. Ribu yomiyut means first ribui, everything's included. Miyut means we're going to just take one thing out. Meaning instead of defining, klal uprat, prat defines the klal. Ribui means everything's included. Miyut means but we'll take one thing out. Riba hakol umay rabi rabi kol mile. Umay miyut, miyut shel cheres. Earthenware. Earthenware is like the furthest thing from a metal, and that's what's being excluded. All right, so you already see, before we go even any further, that at this point in time, we are way different than klal uprat. Klal uprat means that's the definition. Ribu umiyut means we're just going to take away kli cheres. Now, I'm sorry, misho cheres. Huh? So then wood would be fine? So the Gemara says, okay. So Rav Yosef says, I have a braisa. So now we have a simple standoff over here. Right? Rav Papa says, I have a braisa. And Rav Yosef says, good, I have a braisa. So Rav Yosef says to Rav Papa, yeah, but there's my braisa. And what's Rav Papa's response? Adarabba, samedit chami kamedidi. So Rav Papa says, good, I'm glad you have a braisa. I also have a braisa. So why is your braisa better than my braisa? Lo stakadatcha. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef says, I have an answer. Titanya, ain li zahav, maybe afshal keser, shalachosh, shalbazev, shalbadil, vishal oferes. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, machshir, af bishel eitz. Okay, so we have another brisa. So basically now it's going to be a quantitative issue of how many brisas corroborate my brisa versus how many brisas corroborate yours. So here, another brisa where again we see Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda accepting a wood menorah. The tiny idach, and let's just keep going. Lo yaseh adam beis tavnis hechal. A person should not make things modeled after the kelim of the beis hamikdash. Don't make a hechal the same dimensions of the beis hamikdash. Now, same dimensions means actual dimensions, right? Or just ratio. Maybe it's aspect ratio, right? Achsadra keneged ulam. Don't make your antechamber like the ulam, right? Chatzar keneged azara, right? Courtyard like the azara. Shulchan keneged shulchan. Don't make your shulchan like the shulchan in the base of mikdash. Menorah keneged menorah. Don't make a menorah like the one in the base of mikdash. Again, the actual dimension, just the ratio, right? Aval osehu shel chamisha v'shel shisha v'shel shmona. So what you can do is you can make a menorah with five stems, six stems or eight stems, right? Not seven. Sounds like ratio over here is the issue. Sounds that way from the Gemara. Simple pshat in the Gemara. Vishal shiva lo yaseh. But you can't make seven. Seven stems is no good because that's what they had in the base of Mikdash, and we can't model what they have in the base of Mikdash. V'afilu mishamine matachos. Now, what if I don't make it out of gold? What if I make it? No, my menorah that I have in my house, I know it has seven, but I didn't make it out of gold. That's no good, because remember, even the base of Mikdash, you don't have to make it out of gold. You can make it out of other metals. And Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda Omer, Af Shel Eitz Lo Yaseh Kederach She'asa Macha Beis Kashmonai. And one more time, the only reason why we're quoting this brisa over here is just to make this point that Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda accepts a wooden menorah. So again, we have another brisa that tells us that Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda accepts a wooden menorah. So again, Rav Yosef says to Rav Papa, you're right, it seems like your brisa is outnumbered. This is the third brisa now, for those of you who have been counting, which shows that a wooden menorah is fine. The base chashmonai made a wooden menorah, so you see that wooden menorah is kasher. So Amr Lo, so they said to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Misham Raya, come on, that's not a proof. Shpurim shel bar zahayu v'chifam bebatz. Look, they made it first out of barzel. Barzel is iron.
Iron.
Yeah. And the chibum babas, and then they put a tin coating over it. Hashir asum shel kesef, and then when they had more money, they made it out of silver. Chazav hashir asum shel zav, and then they made it out of gold. Meaning over there, they made it out of wood because that's all they got. That's all they had. So they made it out of wood. But don't use that as a raya of what's acceptable versus what's not acceptable. Meaning, I agree with the historical fact that they made it out of wood, but you can't use that as proof that a wood menorah is acceptable. Okay, anyway.
Once you have the one piece, so once you do, is that still one piece?
Even though it's plated.
Right.
I don't know. It sounds like from the Gemara that the plating did not upset the... The validity.
But the Temple Institute told you they have to make another menorah because
they're going to have to make more than one more menorah, as we're going to see over the course of today. Okay, Amar Shmuel Mishmei Desaba. Okay, now Shmuel says in the name of an elderly, Govish of menorah Shmona Asar Tfachim. So the height of the menorah is 18 Tfachim. Okay, if you have the picture that I handed out yesterday, it would be extraordinarily helpful, as now we go through the actual height of the menorah. Okay, 18 tefachim in total. A tefach is somewhere between 3 to 4 inches. We're not 100% sure. We have a range in terms of what a tefach is, about 3 to 4 inches. If we go with a simple 4-inch count, nice even number, so 4 times 18, 72 inches high. Okay, 72 inches high is about...
6 feet.
Right?
6 feet exactly.
Six times 12... 6 times 12 is 72. 6 foot high. 6 foot high menorah. Okay. I'd have issues lighting the menorah, but, you know, well, we're going to learn later today that there are steps to going up to the menorah. So I can...
It's really a little higher.
It'll be helpful. Gova shall menorah. No, no, the menorah itself is 18. 18 tefachim.
But the on top.
No, no, to the height, to the very top. The only thing it doesn't include is the cups.
That's what I mean.
Right, the cups are not included in that 18 tefachim. Because the cups are not, they're not the menorah, meaning the cups are neiros. They hold the oil.
How big are they
then? Or the cups.
So they can take them off then?
Yes. Yeah.
Clean them?
Yes. Yeah, take them off, clean them. Gova shel menorah shmona asar tefachim, so it's 18 tefachim high. Now, we're going to go from the bottom to the top. Haraglayim v'aperach gimel tefachim. So, starting from the base, going upwards now. So, you see on the bottom picture, we're all looking at the same thing, and if not, it's fine. From the bottom until the, from the very base, to the bottom flower, that's already gimel tefachim. That covers three tefachim. Okay?
Just like a triangle? Is the base a triangle?
Does not say. In the picture, in the beautiful picture in front of me, it is a rectangular base.
But here okay. It's got three.
That's feet. Including the flowers, three tefachim.
Yes, including that flower, it's three tefachim.
It says 3 feet, so it has to be on a point.
It sounds like you're right. Okay.
Gimel. Also, the dimension of the base is like the artist's conception.
Right, right, right. Again, we don't 100% know, as we know we don't know. The aperach gimel tefachim. The tefachim chalak. Now, you're going to have two tefachim above that, which are smooth, meaning that there's no decorative flowers or knobs or anything like that. Two smooth tefachim. Then tefach shabo gvia, the kaftor uperach. Now we're going to go, that next tefach going up has a cup, a knob, and a flower. Now, how exactly was the configuration of the cup, knob, and flower? So in the picture we have, obviously the picture that I gave you is a schematic. It's not a, right, it's not even an artist rendition. It's just a schematic. And it has the three alongside one another. Others have them actually in one another. Okay, so subject to a debate exactly how they were configured, but that makes up the next tefach.
So is there a front and a back?
It's right. If they're next to one another, like in the schematic that we have, so then yes, it would seem like there's a front and back. Gvir kaftor ferach utfachaim chalak. Now we're going to go two more tefachim up from them. That's going to be smooth. Utefach kaftor. Now you just have a knob, and coming out from the knob, you have two stems. Remember, there are six stems in total. So you have two stems coming out from there. They're going out in each direction. As I mentioned already, machlok is whether it's an arch or it's straight. Okay? Now that goes to the top of the menorah, meaning that if you were to draw a straight line, and some people actually have a straight line, but if you were to draw a straight line going from, no, I'm sorry, if you draw a straight line from the ground up, it's got to hit 18 tefachim high. Okay, the tefach halak, now, just we're still going upwards straight from the bottom up. The tefach halak, another tefach which is smooth, the tefach kaftor, we have now another knob, v'shnei kanim yotzei mimenu. And now we have two stems coming out from that. Again, it goes to that 18 tefach point from the ground up. The tefach chalak, another tefach which is smooth. The tefach kaftor. The last two stems of the menorah come out from there. Utfachaim chalak, and now you have another two tefachim which are smooth. And finally, nishtar yisham gimel tefachim. Now, for those of you who have been keeping score at home, so now we still have three tefachim left, meaning so 3, 2, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1, okay? So that only got us to the number 15. Now we have three tefachim left, shebahem gimel gevi'im. So we have now three cups, v'kaftor uferach, and one more knob and one more flower. And again, how is that actually configured at the top? Same issue that we had below in terms of how exactly the knob, flower, and cup is configured. Okay. Gvien. Okay, the cups. What do they look like? Picture's worth 1,000 words. Right? You know that. Gvien lamahin domim. I'm sorry, lamahin domim. Kemin kosos alexandrium. So if you ever see a cup, if you go to Egypt and you go to Alexandria and you see cups over there, you know exactly what the cups in the menorah look like. Okay, road trip. Rashi says, I've not gone to Egypt. Rashi says, Alexandria shomitzoyim ba'aruchim Vitzarim, Hain, Ukruyim, Phil, help me over here. Mandarins?
Mandarins.
Mandarins. That's the last line of Rashi. Old French. Okay. Kamin Kosos Alexandria. Fine. Rashi describes them as being thin cups, narrow cups. Kaftarim Lamahin Domim. Okay, what do the knobs look like? Once again, a picture is worth a thousand words. Kamin Tapuche HaKartiim. It looks just like the apples of Crete. Okay, another road trip.
Let's go.
Okay. Prachim lamahin domim. What do the flowers look like? Kamin parche hamudim. Okay, it looks like parche hamudim. They drew pictures of flowers on some sort of pillars. I don't know which hamudim we're actually describing over here. Again, pictures worth a thousand words. V'nimtzu gvim esrim u'shnayim. Now, how many gvim were there in total? So, you can count. Okay, the Gemara gives us the total number. Esrim u'shnayim kaftarim. 22 kaftarim, so 22 knobs in total. Okay, echad asar prachim, 11 flowers in total. And tisha gvim and 9 cups in total. And ma'akvin zedzeh. Sorry, tisha, sorry. Gvim ma'akvin zedzeh, kaftarim ma'akvin zedzeh, prachim ma'akvin zedzeh. And your numbers that you're going home with today, 22, 11, 9, they're ma'akev. You need 22. You need 22 knobs. Sorry, you need 22 cups. You need 9 knobs, and you need
11
knobs. Thank you, and 9 flowers. You need all of them. Gvi'in kafterim uprachim akven zedzeh, and you need all of them to be ma'akev one another. Now, the menorah, by the way, is treated with a lot of mysticism. There is a tremendous amount of Kabbalah that goes behind the menorah. The menorah, of course, is the ore and the light, and holy moly, I don't fully understand. But if you take all your numbers and you add them together, 22. So that gets you to 42. And the 7 branches.
29.
So that gets you to 49, right? For the Memtesh Shar. Sharbina, the 49 levels of understanding, okay, and then of course there's a 50th as well, Miksha Achasi, and well beyond the scope of my understanding. I understand I'm of age now where I should be understanding these things better. I'm losing my excuses already. So Bishlama Gvim Esrim Vishtaim Dichsev. So the 22 cups. So the Gemara says that's easy, meaning I could just read Chumash and I'll get to the number 22. Uva Menorah Arba Gvim. Look, the Menorah has 4 cups, right? It's interesting, by the way, when we say menorah, we're really talking about the central shaft, right? The stems that come out, that's kanim. They're stems, right? But when we say the actual menorah itself, we're talking about the central shaft. So we say that there are 4 cups. So again, look at the picture and you'll see there are 4 cups on the central shaft, 3 on the top and 1 on the bottom. Three on the top, 1, 2, 3 on the top, and the fourth one on the bottom, represented in the picture by the letter H.
These were all put on separately, right?
No, these were all banged out.
They were
banged out. 1, 2, 3, 4. But and the central shaft.
There is no cup, there's only H is a cup.
No,
that's a cup.
That's a cup. Cup, cup, cup,
C's
cup. Right, 4 in the central shaft.
Yeah.
Then, so that takes you to 4. So sorry, uksiv shlosha gvim shukadim bekaneh achad, and each kaneh had 3 cups. Right, don't look at the top. The top is a. I know it's a cup, but that's not part. That's not our discussion. That's a ner. That just holds the oil. That's not part of the menorah. Okay, so. So you're looking now at each stem having 3, 3 times 6 is 18, 18 plus 4, 22. Good. Kaftor uperach, I'm sorry, shosha kevim mishukadim b'kanachad, fine. Kaftor uperach. Arba didei v'tamnei srei dekanim, hasim v'tartim. Okay, and the Gemara just simply takes us through those numbers. 4 of the menorah, plus 3 of each stem, 18 in total, plus another 4, 22. Good. Now kaftorim in terms of the knobs. So, Nami, Echadasar. Again, 11, and that 11 is going to be easy to get to. Kaftrim, Tredide, because when we talk about the actual menorah itself. So there are two on the main menorah. Don't look at the kanim right now. Don't look at the stems. Just look at the bottom one and look at the top one. So that's two. Bishisha de kanim. The kaftor, the kaftor, the kaftor. And connected to each one of the stems is a kaftor, right? Two stems for one kaftor. So that gives you a total of three. So hachad star. So that gives you now, and each one on the top had three, six plus another two plus another three. So that gets you to 11. Okay. Ella, prachim tisha. Here's the part that's going to be a little bit tricky. And that we're going to get to now, nine flowers. Nine flowers is going to be a little tricky. Minalan, prachim treidida, because there are two of the main menorah. Now I know when you look at the picture, you're going to see three. Right now the Gemara does not know about that bottom flower. The bottom flower is not explicitly mentioned in Chumash. And that's going to be the confusing part. That's going to be the part that the Gemara is going to grapple with for just a little bit. Bishisha dekanim. Now on the top of every stem you have a flower. So that's six plus two. That only gets you to eight. And we need the number nine. Hava amarav saman ksiv ad yirecha ad pircha. Yirecha pircha. Meaning that from the bottom to the top. Ad yirecha ad pircha. Miksha hi. So the bottom has a flower as well. The Gemara is mechadesh that there is a flower on the very bottom. That's the nine flowers. Okay? So your numbers for today are 22, 11, 9. Right?
Lotto.
play those numbers today. Okay. Amarav. Next. Okay, so we got through now the decorations of the menorah. We also talked about the height being 18 tfachim. Amarav gova shel menorah tisha tfachim. So Rav says the height of the menorah is 9 tfachim. Now the Gemara says, what are you talking about? We just finished. We just finished saying 18. 9 is only half of 18. Eisve Rav Shimi Bar Chila Rav Evan Haisalifne Menorah Ova Shloshama Alosha Alea Kohen Amid Omedu Meikivas Aneiros. Come on, we had a step stool, right? And not just a step stool. It was made out of stone. It was nice. And three steps going up in order to help the Kohen get to the top of the menorah. 9 Tfachim. Nine. Let's go 4 inches. Okay, so that's 36 inches high. I can do it. So right, that's not a big deal. So what is so? If the menorah were 9 tefachim high, why do I need a step stool in the front? Amalei shimi at. Your shimi ki kamina mitzvas kanim olamala. No, I mean that when the stems start, that's where we're talking 9 tefachim. Meaning from the base to where the stems start, that is 9 tefachim, right? 3, 5, 6, 8. I'll be honest with you. It really is the 9 tefachim takes you up to and including that first knob. Right.
It's 6.
Right. Right, it is 8. Right, that's... right, it's really...
It's
huh?
It's 8 at the base of the first knob.
3,
it's
5,
you go from the
base, 6,
start coming at 9.
8,
it's supposed to start
right.
At 9.
At, it's including, it's at including 9. Okay, anyway. Okay. The haperach, okay, fine. All right, so it's 18 tefachim is the correct number. Okay, as confused as I just try to make everybody, including myself. 18 is the correct number. 18, it's really 18 tefachim. 9 is just a point in the menorah, but really it's 18 tefachim. Good. Next, the pasuk in Divar Hayamim describes prachim flour ner the cup that holds the oil and the milkachayim and the tweezers that you use to get the wicks out are made out of gold. Zavhu michlos zahav. It's made out of michlos zahav. It's not just gold. It's Michlo Zahav. What is that? The Gemara wants to know. My Michlo Zahav, Amar Rav Ami, Shekilta Lechol Zahav, Sagur, Shel Shlomo. It was so valuable, this gold, that when sold in the market, all other stores were closed. Meaning, nobody was interested in any other type of gold. This was the most special type of gold. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Esther Menorah Sasa, Shlomo, Shlomo made 10 menorahs. Okay? Little known fact, although it's, you know, it sounds pretty clear from the Pesukim, that Shlomo added 10 more menorahs. Now, he added them in the Beis HaMikdash. They weren't used. They were decorative, if you will. There was only one menorah that was actually used, and he had another 10. Now, when each one of them, when he started with 1,000 kikar. Now, we know that every menorah is made out of only one kikar. So what he did is he ichnisu alafamim lakor. What he did is he put it into the core, into the kiln, heated it up, reduced it. So reduced the gold, right? Took out all the impurities and reduced it. He needed to do it 1,000 times, and the Gemara seems to be giving a constant rate in terms of the reduction, so that now it went from 1,000 down to one kikar. Ve'emidiu al kikar. Ina, the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to question now the rate. Is that really true? V'haksi v'chokli mashke ha-melech Shlomo Zahav. No, not yet. I'm sorry. V'chokli mashke ha-melech Shlomo Zahav v'chokli beis Yar ha-levon Zahav. I'm sorry, Zahav. So the Gemara says, Zahav Sagur. En kesev nechshabi me Shlomo l'muma. So the Gemara says, silver in the time of Shlomo, no one cared about silver. But you see that Shlomo HaMelech still had gold. Zahav Sagur Ka'amrina. The Gemara says that's true. But this type of gold, the Zahav Sagur, that's something that was special and unique. U'michasikulehai, the Gemara now questions the rate of reduction. The Atani will enter the Bryce, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Maisa, Vahaisa, Menorah, Beis HaMikdash, Yisera, Al Shamosha, Bediner Zahav. They weighed the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and it turned out to be one gold coin more in weight than that of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning that it needed to be the weight of a kikar, and it weighed a little bit more than that. Abidina Zahav Kordanaiki, Kordikini. V'echnisu pei pa'amim. So now, it was only a little bit more than Moshe's menorah in terms of weight. So what they did is that, once again, they put into the kiln, they fired it up 80 times to get it down to a core. V'hemidu al kikar, and in order to get it down to the kikar weight, so they need to fire it up 80 times. And the Gemara now wants to know, remember, we describe Shlomo taking 1,000 core, firing it up 1,000 times, and that got him down from 1,000 down to 1. Okay, so that's a serious rate of reduction. Over here, it's just, I mean, I don't know how big this coin is, but relative to a total size of a menorah, it does not seem that you would need to fire it up 80 times, and all you would get in terms of reduction is just one coin's worth. It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara answers very simply, came into Kai Kai. No. Right? Once you get down to a certain, in other words, it's already been reduced. So now you are refining something which has already been refined. So there, the rate is going to slow down significantly, where, yeah, even when you now fire it up 80 times, all you're going to get out of there is an impurity of just one coin's worth.
They had the menorah of Moshe?
They knew the weight of it. I don't know if they had the menorah, I don't know. But they knew they knew what the weight was. Amr Shmuel bar Nachman Amr Rav Yochanan Ma'ad Yichsev Menorah Tahara Shiyardu Ma'aseh Mimakum Tahara. The menorah was described to Moshe Mimakum Tahara, came from a pure place. Moshe was shown the menorah. Now Elamiata La Shulchan Torah Shiyardu Ma'aseh Mimakum Tahor. The Gemara says now by the Shulchan we have the same word used, Tahora, Tahor. Right, Shulchan's masculine, Tahor. Menorah is feminine, Tahora. So the Gemara says, what do you want to tell me? That Moshe also needed a diagram of the Shulchan? It's a table, right? People can make tables. Mechlal Shu Tamei. Over there by the table, the Torah is telling us Torah means it's susceptible to Tumah. Hachanami Torah Mechlal Shu Tamei. And the same thing is true by the menorah. Menorah is Mekabel Tumah. It can receive Tumah. Now, let's for a moment talk about the table and its susceptibility to Tumah. Now, a table is made out of wood. Now, yes, it's plated with gold, but it's wood. It's a wood table. We know the rules are with wood. In order for it to be a kli, a wood, it has to be something which is movable, right? So if it's something which is stationary, it's asui lanachas, it's made but never meant to be moved, it's eina mekabel tumah. So how can the wood table, the shulchan, be mekabel tumah? So the Gemara explains, I'll tell you how. Shutame kliyetz asui lanachas, uvechol kliyetz asui lanachas, eina mekabel tumah, ala ma'alami chemagbin osola ola regalim, umarim lehem lechem hapanim. What they would do every yantav is they would lift the table. Now, how far out they would take it out of the building, subject to a debate. But whatever the case is, that part is, it's important, but not for now. The point is that they would lift it up, move it to show the people, the Ole Regalim, look. Right? You see bread on here? Bread's been on here for a week. And it's still fresh. Just like when it was put on, it was fresh. Taken off a week later, still fresh. On the day it was taken, it was still hot. Okay? A week later. Time is not an issue in the Beis HaMikdash. So elahacha tahora mechlal shita. Good. So by the shulchan, the Torah needs to go out of its way to tell us that's mekabel tumah, because it's a kli eitz ha'asui lanachas, and had it not been for the moving of the table on yantif to show the people, it would not have been mekabel tumah. So the fact that the Torah says it's mekabel tumah, it's almost like it's instruction for us. You got to move the table. You got to show the people the lechem cham on the table. Good. By the menorah, menorah is made out of metal. There is not, right, we would of course know that that it's mekabel tumah. Metal is a different story. Elahacha tahor mechlal shita. Me'ap shita. Kli matichos ninhu. It's made out of metal. Ukli matichos mekabel tumah. Metal is much more susceptible to tumah than wood is. You don't have this rule of kli eitz asui lanachas. So of course it's mekabel tumah. So when the Torah says that the menorah is tahora, so now we go with a different direction. Here tahora means not that it's susceptible to tumah. We knew that already. It's obvious. It means makom tahara, that Moshe need to be shown the menorah. Elish yardu masemi makom tahara. Tanya Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Aron shel eish v'shulchan, shel eish u'menorah shel eish yardu min hashamayim. The Aron, the Shulchan, and the menorah all came down in the form of fire. Ra'a Moshe va'asa kamosam shenema va'asa ketav nisam. He did like their tavnis, he did like their image. What does that mean, like their image? It was shown. Asher ata mare bahar elamiata v'ikamta t'mishkan kemishpato asher hereisi bahar hachanami. So the Gemara says, it says regarding the Mishkan that I showed you on the mountain, hacha ksiv kemishpato, asum ksiv bitavni sam. It's a little bit different. Mishpato just simply means laws. Tavnit means there was an actual image that was shown. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gavriel chagor kemin paskaya haya. Gavriel wore a belt, Rashi says, so that his clothing doesn't drag. Now, he's an angel, so don't expect me to really understand all this. Vehara lola Moshe, masa menara. And he had to show Moshe, here's how the menorah looks like. Because in front of me right now, I've got different diagrams of what the menorah looks like. I don't know what the menorah looks like. Right? Moshe, can't compare me to Moshe, but Moshe also didn't understand what it looked like. V'zeh ma'aseh menorah, tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, shoshe dvarim heyukashim lo l'Moshe, ad she'aro lo kadosh baruch hu be'etzba'o. Three things Moshe just couldn't get. And he needed images. He needed a smart board. Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him the etzbao ve'elohim menorah v'rosh chodesh v'shratzim. Right, so the menorah, Moshe needed to see it. Kadosh Baruch Hu had to show it to him. Rosh Chodesh, right, the moon, the molad, the new moon, right, all those things Moshe needed to see. Shratzim, the Torah enumerates 8 shratzim, which are tamei after they die. What are the 8 shratzim? Because we know there are a lot of species in this world. Moshe needed to see which shrusim specifically. Menorah dichsiv is emasa menorah. Rosh Chodesh dichsiv achorish azelachem rosh chodeshim. Shrusim dichsiv is elachem atamei. Did you see the common denominator in all these psukim? Zeh. The word zeh means this. Moshe actually illustrated to Moshe what this was. V'yeshomim av hilchot shchita shenemar v'zeh asher taseh al hamizbeach. Shchita also. Shchita is complicated. When we get to Chulin, first 2 parakim of Chulin, Shchita is complicated. Rashi over here points to one of the psulei Shchita, Hagrama. Okay? You'll ask me, what is hagrama? It's complicated. Hagrama is complicated. You're going to see there are rings of cartilage in the trachea. And hagrama means that you can't go from one ring to another ring of cartilage. You don't fully understand what I'm saying? Don't worry, neither do I. So, but when we get to chul in the first two prakam, you'll understand the rings of cartilage of the trachea, and you'll understand hagrama a little bit better.
The rings run parallel.
Huh?
The rings run parallel, so you cannot come horizontally across the first.
Right. Right, right. When we get to Chulam, we'll talk about that. And that's difficult, and that needs illustration, and Moshe received illustration, according to that. Ad Khan, that is the menorah. Again, this is Daf Yomi. We just scratched the surface. There's obviously a lot more to discuss, but that is the basics of menorah. Next big discussion coming up in Menachos now is Ksav, how to write letters of the Torah. You can't leave out a letter. Pshita, the Gemara says, the Mishnah needs to tell me you can't leave out a letter. I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that you can't leave out a letter. Right? Rashi says, it's so posh, the Pasuk says, Uchsav tam, Ksiva tama. Right? The instructions are, you write the Parshios in your Mezuzah, you write the Parshios in your Tillim, and you have to write it in its completion. So of course if I leave out a letter, it's not going to be good. And the Mishnah is not there to teach me things that are so obvious. Obviously there must be a chiddush in the Mishnah. So we're talking about the kotz shel yod. Right? The English translation of the word kotz, tail, stem,
thorn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't have a good English translation. Thorn I think is the... Right? Anyway, the kotzel shel yud. What is the kotzel shel yud? You look at Rashi. Rashi writes regel yamini shel yud. Right? The right leg of the yud. Okay. Should have came with a marker today. Sorry. Okay.
That's probably a great diagram.
Okay. So if you could see a picture of yud in front of you right now, right? And most of you do. So you see, it's okay. Right, I got it. So the yud is just basically it's one stroke, and then it ends on a little point. According to Rashi, the kotzel shel yud is talking about the right stem on the bottom of the yud. That is Rashi. Tosos disagrees. His grandson disagrees. A lot of machlokas we're going to see over the course of the next couple days between Rashi and his grandson.
Huh.
Yes, it's interesting. Perish Bekunshus, look at the bottom Tosos on the page. Perish Bekunshus, regal yimini. Vikashad apshita de ein zeos. So, again, what Tosos is bothered by is that this is too obvious, meaning that right stem of the yud is part and parcel of the yud. That is not a chiddush. We're looking now for a chiddush. We're looking for something which is a nuance which I would not necessarily have known had the Mishnah not told me. So Tosafot says, according to Rashi, you're talking about the right stem of the yud. That's yud. That's part of the yud. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's rosho kafuf. Now it's not 100% clear what Rabbeinu Tam is referring to, but it seems that he's talking about the left stem, meaning that if you look at your little picture over there, you'll see that you start in the top left-hand corner, you go down with the kulmus, you go down with the quill, and you don't just simply brush stroke across, but first you go down, come up, and brush stroke across. So there has to be some sort of stem at the bottom left-hand side of the yud. Rabbeinu Tam says that's the chiddush, that's the kotzel shel yud. So according to Rabbi Tam, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is now saying that I need kotzel shel yud, I need a left-hand stem on every yud. Rabbi Tam, it's a big chumrah. Meaning, according to Rabbi Tam, if you're missing that, then your Sefer Torah, your mezuzah, your tefillin, is not going to be kosher. Okay. It's a chumrah of Rabbi Tam, and... okay.
How did this far then pass?
How did this fart impossible? It's unbelievable. According to Rabbeinu Tam, his grandfather didn't hold to that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's awkward family scenarios we're going to have between Rabbeinu Tam and his grandfather.
But the thing is that, I mean, but the letter yud has been written for thousands of years before Rabbeinu Tam and Russia.
Well, Rabbeinu Tam will argue that every yud has it. right? In other words,
they must have been in the same scrolls for the handed down to them. So what happened to these scrolls? How could one of them like be?
We're gonna see. I mean, okay.
Yeah, it's Sefer Torah, right? Russia has Sefer
Torah. Wouldn't the Dead Sea Scrolls happen?
I mean, before that, we have Sfarim that are centuries. Look, the fact of the matter is that even though we have it, it's subject to much debate. I mean, the Gemara in Kiddushin describes how many words there are in the Sefer Torah, how many psukim there are in the Sefer Torah. Even that, we're not 100% clear about. Look, some of the Masara is.
Rashi had a Sefer Torah.
They all. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Pshita, I'm sorry. Salonitzur chalal kotzal shiur. V'hanami pshita. So the Gemara says it's also pashut. It's interesting. According to Rashi, like you hear the Gemara's right. You can hear the Gemara's retort over here, right? Because according to Rashi, we're talking about the right stem, and then the Gemara says that's all pashut. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you got to think about it a little bit. Meaning, because Rabbeinu Tam says the Chiddush is a left stem. Yeah. And to that, the Gemara says, oh, that's also so obvious. I don't know. According to Rabbeinu Tam, is that really so obvious that you need a left stem? So, Gemara does seem to flow a little bit better according to Rashi than according to Rabbeinu Tam. Anyway, okay. Elo l'chi'idach to Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Dam Rabbi Yehuda Marav, another halacha, which is what the Mishnah is speaking to, which is called Oshen Gvil Mukaf, Lamear Baruchoseha Psula. You need parchment around every letter. Okay, you need parchment around every letter. This is a halacha of Gvil Mukaf, or Mukaf Gvil. It has to be surrounded by parchment. Now, does this mean either A, letters can't be touching one another, or B, that you actually need parchment around each letter? Right? Rebbe spoke about this last year. Okay? So, Amar Ashian Bar Nadvach Mishmed Rabbi Yehuda Nikav Tocho Shohei Kasher. If you have a hole in the middle of the hay. Now Rashi over here gives two explanations of what this means. We'll go second shot Rashi. Tocho Shohei means in the center of the hay. Kasher. Yerecho. But if you have it on the thigh, on the leg of the hay, it's going to be pasul. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ledidim Mefarshel Mineid Rav Huna Rabbi Yaakov Amar Ledidim Mefarshel Mineid Rav Yehuda Nikev Tocho Shohei Kasher Yerecho Imishtar Bo Kashir Oz Katana Kasher V'Imla Psula. Look, if the hole is in the middle of the hay, that's acceptable. Now, according to this pshat, by the way, it sounds like the halacha of Mukaf Gvil means not that you actually have to have parchment, but the letters simply cannot be touching one another. That's what it sounds like. Again, I'm just highlighting some basic points over here. However, if you have a hole on the actual leg of the hay has two legs, right? One connected, one not connected. So that would be possible. However, if there's still enough of that letter, even after there's a hole in one of the legs, enough of a, what the Gemara calls os ketana, little letter. What do you think the little letter is? Yud. As long as there's enough where there's a yud over there, enough leg where that you would have had room for a yud, so that would be fine. Agra chamua de Rabbi Abba, let's do a little more for today. If sikua le kara dehe, he had a break in the leg of the hay of the word ha'am, bin nikva, there was a hole actually that went through, creating a break in the hay. Also, coming to Rabbi Abba, Amalei, imishtar bo kashiros ketana, kasher v'imlav pasal. So he says, here's the halacha. Halacha is, as long as there is enough leg of the hay remaining, that it would have made up a small letter, i.e. the yud, so then it would be kasher. Otherwise, it would be pasal.
Even though there's a hole right there?
Right. In other words, and you don't have mukaf kvil. It's not being surrounded by parchment. But again, what we could say now is that mukaf gvil requirements is just simply that the letters don't connect to one another.
Here, there's a hole kind of in the
right. Again, I'm just providing one approach right now. There are other approaches in terms of how to understand our Gemara. We'll stop over here tomorrow. Oh boy, get ready for tomorrow. Get excited for tomorrow. Tagin, right? Crowns of the Sefer Torah are coming up. Crowns of the letters are coming up tomorrow. How to write the letter Ches is coming up tomorrow. Unbelievable Agadata. Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Akiva. Okay, come again tomorrow. Right?
Really?
Yeah.